Thank you, Craig. All right, open your Bibles up to chapter 2. If you have children 4 years old to 6 years old that you would like to send to the children's church, or if they would like to go to children's church, you can meet April. They can meet April in the back, and she'll take them over, 4 years old to 6 years old. The rest of you, Ephesians chapter 2. Last week I talked about I think something we could all agree on happens from time to time in a lot of lives, the need to reconnect with God. It doesn't matter how spiritual you are, how many years you've been walking with the Lord, one of the things that tends to happen along the way is there are times in life when you get into a spiritual rut, when usually routine replaces relationship, and it leads to that rut. And the story from 2 Kings where the axe head fell into the water, and the axe head being necessary to provide the power to do the job. When we lose our edge spiritually, we can apply some of the same principles that we saw in that story. When we admit that we lost it, when we acknowledge where we lost it, then we expect God to restore it, and then we reach out and receive it. That's the way God works in our life. You know, along life's way, sometimes we get lost. But there is a way of restoration. God is able to fix that which is broken, and we saw that in that story last week. We talked about how in in Revelation chapter 2, he was talking about to the church at Ephesus, and he told them to remember what they once were like, to repent of their sin, and then to return and go to begin doing again what they were once doing. You know, reconnecting with God is vital as a Christian. If you're straying away, reconnecting with God is vital. It's something that is necessary to keep you on the path of purpose in life and walking with God the way you desire to walk with God. But if we're going to reconnect with God, then also we're going to have to reconnect in other places as well. And one of those places I want to talk about this morning is reconnecting with the church. In Ephesians chapter 2, we just read about the grace and how we're saved by grace. And you go down a few verses in Ephesians chapter 2, and you see in verse 19, if you flip over to verse 19, this is in a couple of translations, and one paraphrase. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household." And then if you look at that paraphrase in the Living Bible, it says this: you are members of God's very own family, and you belong to God's household with every other Christian. And I like the way that paraphrase words there. There's three words in that verse that stand out: members, family, and belong. This verse teaches us some important truths. First of all, the church is a family. This verse teaches us the church is a family. It's not a building. It's not an institution. It's not a business. It's not an organization. It is a family. You know, it is God's family. Christianity means that we not only relate to God, but also to others that belong in the family. Now, we all have families. We know what families are like. We know, you know, that there are families, that part of our family that we know really well. Maybe we see them a lot. And then there's part of our families that are more distant, that we don't see as much. But nevertheless, whether they are first cousins or third cousins or Wise County cousins, I don't know. There's a lot of Wise County cousins that are husband and wife, right? Isn't that kind of what? No, I'm just kidding. No. Wise County. But either way, you know what I'm saying? You are family. You are family. The Christian without a church family is like an orphan. Every Christian needs a believing family to be a part of. They need a church home. They need a family to belong to. A Christian is not just a believer, but he's a belonger. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Each member belongs to all the others. In the New Testament, there's no such thing as a floating Christian. You know, you don't look at the New Testament and say, "Oh, yeah, I'm going to go." he worshiped over in the church at Corinth today, and next Sunday he's going to go to the church at Ephesus, and the next Sunday the church at Colossae. No, that's not the way it works. The Bible tells us when Christians moved to new towns, they took letters of recommendation with them to the next church. Only in America do we have the idea of freelance Christians, you know, here, there, and yonder, and not really belonging to a body. In the New Testament, it's all about belonging to a body. The Bible teaches we belong to the body of Christ, a place where we're connected to other believers. You know, the old song, Cheers. We want to go where everybody knows our name. I don't remember any of the rest of it, but I thought that was a pretty good, do y'all, what's the next line? And we're always glad they came. That's it, right? That's the idea of church. That's the idea of belonging. You know, it's a biblical term. It means something different today, belonging and membership, than what it did back then. Today, membership often means something akin to you got your name on a piece of paper, on a roll, or on a printout. But back when this scripture was written, membership literally meant not a consumer, but you're a contributor. You're not just a spectator, you're a participator. You know, it's about being involved. It's about digging in. It's about being the body. You know, what does connecting to a church do for you? What does being the body, what does plugging in and getting rooted in the body of Christ do for you? Number one, it helps me stay spiritually motivated. You know, if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, let us not give up the habit of meeting together, or let us not give up meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. We all need encouragement. You know, looking around this morning, if I was to say, how many of you don't need encouragement? There wouldn't be a hand go up. Everybody likes to be patted on the back once in a while. Everybody likes to say, come on, you can do this when you're struggling. You know, that's what the church is here for. We're here to encourage, to motivate, to help one another. I mean, today, with RAs and GAs lunch, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to encourage them so that the kids can go to camp this summer. We're trying to help them stay motivated, the teachers stay motivated that are working with them. That's what the church is about. We're like an extended family that gathers to worship God, to fellowship with one another, you know, to love one another. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so obey the Lord's command. Bear one another's burdens. That's part of being a part of the body. From time to time, you're going to have those burdens. From time to time, people that in your family at church are going to have those burdens. And we're here to help meet those needs. That's what the scripture says that the church ought to be like, to help us stay spiritually motivated. A second thing it does, it helps me grow spiritually. You know, one of the things that I struggle with Christianity, and I say I struggle with it because I see it too often. I see it too often that a person's testimony is this. You know, I became a Christian 25 years ago. And I accepted Christ then. And that's the end of my testimony. They never grew. They're like the little baby that got set on the doorstep at the fire hall. You got to grow up. If that's it, is it really enough? Is it enough? It is if it's real. But if salvation is real, then there is a next step that has to take place. When a baby is born, if it's fed, it's going to grow. When a Christian is born, if they are fed, they ought to grow. Natural processes. Well, that's what the church is here for, to help you grow spiritually. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41, 42, 46, again from the Living Bible, says they were baptized and joined other believers in regular attendance at the apostles' teaching. They worshiped together regularly at the temple. They met in small groups or Bible study. You know what? Those are some keys to growing spiritually. Baptized. What baptism is, the water doesn't mean anything. It's symbolic of dying to self and raising to new life. Baptism is that step of obedience that says, okay, Lord, I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow my plans anymore. I'm following your plans. That's the first step of obedience after salvation. Then they joined and they worshiped and they studied all together for the purpose of growing. You know, that's what we're here for as a church. Help people do those very things. The third thing the church does is helps you discover your ministry. And I think this is a key thing. Because look at me, if you're saved today, you have a ministry of some kind. You have a ministry. There's a significant need inside of every one of us to make a contribution in life. We need to matter. If that need is not met, then we tend to feel unfulfilled with life. Like, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Ephesians 2:10 says this, "For we are His workmanship, created for good works in Christ, which God prepared beforehand." Let me tell you what that means. That means before you were born, God knew what spiritual gifts you would be given. He knew what talents you would have. He knew what special abilities and skills that you'd be able to acquire. God made you exactly the way He wants you to be for the purpose of ministering to His church. The good works are your ministry. Every member is a minister. The Bible tells us God gave some to be pastors, some to be teachers, some to be servants. You know, there's a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different things, a lot of different abilities you have that I don't have or that I have that you don't have. But whatever you've been given, God gave it to you beforehand to use for His glory. And the great secret of fulfillment in life is doing what God made you to do. If you ever put a puzzle together, I don't have any time to work. I hadn't worked puzzles in 15 years, I bet. But I used to really like to work puzzles when I was younger. It was a challenge, I mean, to try to take this thing that was nothing and build it and get it to look like that picture on the box. And after you'd work, a lot of times, several hours, I didn't do those 1,000-piece puzzles. That was too hard. Give me one of those small, it took too long. But I would get a puzzle and start working it together. And I tell you, the worst feeling in the world is to get that puzzle all laid out and then realize at the end, oh, man, there's a piece missing. Any of you ever done that? Because then I don't care how pretty the picture is, I'm going to be looking at that hole and thinking, something's missing. Well, let me tell you, it's a lot like life there. If you're a Christian and you're not doing what God made you to do, you're like that puzzle with something missing. A hole that can't be filled, and you just filled, and you just keep looking back at that spot, and it's agging on you, it's eating on you. It's like, what's going on? Why am I so unhappy? Why am I so unfulfilled? Very simply, because God's given you something you're not using. And we all need that ability in the church. If you're a Christian, we need each other in the church. Paul says, as members of the body, we need each other. The hand doesn't say to the foot, oh, I don't need you. The foot doesn't say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head, or whatever. All parts of the body fit together and are necessary for the body to be healthy. Kind of like if your liver decided today, I don't think I'm going to work for a while. Well, let me tell you, it wouldn't take long and the rest of your body would be affected by that liver saying, I'm stepping out. You know what? When members of the body of Christ don't minister to one another, not only do they suffer, not only does the kingdom of God suffer, but believers around you suffer. The church helps me stay spiritually motivated. The church helps me grow spiritually. The church helps me discover my ministry. And finally, the church helps you in your life mission. Paul says, we are ambassadors for Christ. That's your divine assignment. That when others see you, you represent the King. It's why God left you here after salvation. Think about it this way. I got to thinking about this week. When we get to heaven, let me tell you what you can do in heaven. A lot of things probably that I don't have a clue about. But there are things that we can do on earth that we can't do in heaven. We can sing in heaven, we can pray in heaven, we can praise in heaven, we can worship in heaven, we can do all those things. Let me tell you what you can't do in heaven. You can't sin in heaven, because there's no sin there. And there's one other thing that you can't do in heaven either. You can't tell others or you can't tell believers about Christ. So obviously, you've been left on this earth after your salvation to do something that you can't do in heaven. Either sin or tell others about salvation. Tell non-believers about salvation. Which one is it do you think God wants us to do on earth? You know, the Roman church said, well, why don't we just sin like crazy? Because then God's grace that covers us will flood us like crazy. And Paul looks at him and goes, you bunch of idiots. It's not what I'm talking about. You don't just keep sinning after your salvation. That's dumb. So it's got to be the last one. You're left here as the church, as the body of Christ, to tell non-believers about Jesus. That's what it means to be an ambassador for Christ. We're on mission to tell others about him. These are things that a church ought to be doing. And so I ask you this, when you're looking for a church, when someone's looking for a church, what should a person look for? I tell you what a lot of times people look for today. People look for a style of church. Oh, I like that music. Or I like that preacher. That style. Well, let me tell you, the Bible doesn't say a thing about style. Cover to cover, it doesn't say a thing about style. What it says is you are to worship in spirit and truth. That's the only thing the Bible has to say about worship. Spirit and truth. That's how you got to worship. And you know, if you're worshiping spirit and truth, God could care less about style. He doesn't care about it for whether a church is formal. If everybody wants to wear suits, that's fine. If everybody wants to wear overalls, Harold, that's fine. Right? Anything that's not immodest is fine, because God cares a heck of a lot more about the attitude of your hearts as you walk through that door each Sunday, whether you're receptive, open, and ready to listen to Him, than He does what kind of clothes you're wearing. Because you can have the nicest three-piece, I don't know, Italian-made suit in the world, walk through here, and if your heart's hard, God can't speak to you. Or you can walk through these doors with shorts and a t-shirt on with a heart that says, Lord, speak to me, and God can pour His blessings out in you and change your life forever and draw you closer to Him. Which one pleases Him more? So style doesn't matter. But there are some things that do matter. What matters when you're looking for a church is this. What do they believe? What's the statement? Do they accept the Bible as God's perfect and infallible word? It's not the Bible plus anything. It's not the Bible plus tradition. It's not the Bible plus this little book that, you know, there's a lot of good people out there, and they follow something called the Church of Latter-day Saints of Jesus Christ. Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. They're good people. But let me tell you, when they tell me I got to have a Bible and a Book of Mormon, I'm telling you they're lost. There is a Bible plus nothing. It's the Bible. So when you're looking for a church, the statement of that church, what they believe is vital. And secondly, not only the statement of the church, but the goals of the church. What are its objectives? Is it a one-man show or others encouraged to get involved in ministry? Does it take the Great Commission seriously? I mean, just from our perspective at our church, every dollar that comes into our church, when you give, 8% right immediately goes to the cooperative program. That's missions across the world, all across the world, where it's not affected by what happens in your church. Every church in the Southern Baptist Convention puts into the kid, and then that's filtered out all over the world for missions. That way, if a church, to me, this is why biggest reason I became a Southern Baptist, because if you want to reach the world, we do it through the cooperative program. Churches that give individually to missionaries, that may be all well and good, but the problem with that is what happens if that church starts having trouble? Well, then that missionary on the field has trouble. Let me tell you, the missionaries on the field don't have trouble when we're part of the cooperative program, because we all do our part as a church, and several churches chip in together to make that possible. So the cooperative program is important. 8% of our money goes right there, and then 2% goes to local missions here in Harvest Baptist Association. 2% goes to Camp Copus at Denton, because you know what? We see a lot of people saved, hundreds saved every year at Camp Copus. And we want to be funding those places where we're seeing people saved. So what's the objective of the church? Once you've found the right church, commit to it. Join it. People say, why should I join a church? Can I just visit? Why do I have to join? A better question is, why not join? You need people to be accountable to. You need a tangible body. You know, when you're accountable, a couple of reasons to join the church. Number one, to build character. Because character is built through commitment. I don't care if it's marriage, church, whatever it is, business. Character or commitment. Commitment is built. Character is built through commitment. I get these backwards. Character is built through commitment. It's kind of like the process of, if a couple that wants to get married, and they say, well, I don't know if I want to get married. Why don't we just live together? Why don't we just try it out? One, it's wrong. And two, what's it say about the level of commitment? If I'm committed, I'm gonna sign on the dotted line, so to speak. It deepens relationships. Not only does it strengthen commitment, but it deepens relationships. 1 Peter 3:8 says, you should be like one big happy family, loving on one another with tender hearts. That's the Living Bible of 1 Peter 3:8. You know, commitment, deepening of relationships, and it makes me like Christ. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her. That's how important it is. The Bible says the church is the body of Christ. Commitment to Christ implies a commitment to his church and to the rest of the family. It says in Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church. That's what God's up to these days. It's what he's up to in the world. That's what he's up to this morning in Wise County. It's what he's up to this morning in Nigeria. It's what he's up to in these places across the world where people are meeting together in hidden places. He's building his church. He's building his family. This morning, we need to be a part of doing what God is doing, building his family, strengthening our commitment, not only to him, but to his church. Let me encourage you this morning, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first place to start. Renew your commitment or make a new commitment to him. You know, if you're here today and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, but maybe you need to renew that commitment. Maybe you've fallen away. Maybe this morning you need to say, Lord, I'm coming back. I need to get plugged back in. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian and you're a church member, but you've not really been using your ministry. Maybe you need to say, God, I want to start being used by you because I feel that hole. I feel that puzzle part missing in my life. I need to plug in and to serve and be faithful so that you can use me to be an ambassador wherever you are. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for this body of believers here at Pleasant View, and the body that you created when you hung on the cross and died for our sin. Thank you that you are head of this body. Lord, we look to you for leadership, direction, and guidance. I pray this morning that we would each look at our own lives and see where we are, where we stand. God, things that maybe we can plug in and fill, needs that need to be met, that we can reach out and do that. But Lord, wherever we go, help us to be mindful that we are your ambassadors, that we are building your body wherever we go. Help us to be your church with you at the center. In Christ's name we pray.